In the Gospel of today's Mass, the king tells the servant, "Rede quod debes," pay what thou owest. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Some people like to pay online these days. Most people, I imagine, write out a check and mail it to the company. But some go in person to pay for one reason or another. What's your business here today, if not to pay? To pay what thou owest. It is the same cause to pay what you owe, because he is the innocent lamb, which brings our Lord here down upon the altar this morning. The same reason which on that first Good Friday brought him up the hill of Calvary. It was to discharge a debt. What happens on the altar at Mass? Have you ever tried to grasp the immensity of Calvary? If you have, fifth sorrowful mystery, why then you understand as well what goes on during the Mass, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, bore the sins of the whole world upon himself. Every sin ever committed, every sin being committed right now, that lazy lay-abed Catholic someplace who right about now opens his eyes and yawns and rolls over and says, "No Mass for us today." And every sin that will still be committed till the golden cross glows in the sky, the sign of the Savior's return at the end of the evil day in which we live, the Savior coming back as judge. Every single sin was nailed to the cross with Christ, and at 3 o'clock, forgiven by the Eternal Father. And no one, and no sin, was overlooked or left out. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, writes St. Paul. This forgiveness is yours, for a word, for a prayer, a humble confession, and all is wiped out, forgiven. What moved God to so great a generosity at the cost of his own Son? It was love, the merciful love of his heart. God shows his love for us again, St. Paul, in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And this, with all confidence, we profess in the Creed. I believe in the forgiveness of sins. But our scriptures and the Creed, enough for us, to make us believe in merciful love. It's a hard lesson to retain, isn't it? If you judge God's mercy by the way you judge your fellow man, some of you would be feeling pretty desperate about now. The young and those who seem to have the world by the tail and ever an answer, regardless of the question, look upon mercy as weakness. And they feel no need for it. They think very little of giving it, because life has not yet taught them its harsh lessons. The old have learned well their need for mercy, but guilt at times guilt or sometimes the weariness, the world weariness of this life puts it seemingly beyond their reach. This is a despair the devil specializes in, the ruler of the world of this darkness, St. Paul calls him today. So we all of us need to be reminded. And that is why the Sacred Heart appeared to St. Margaret Mary at Paray-le-Monial in France in the 17th century, to remind us of God's merciful love by showing her the Sacred Heart surmounted by a cross and surrounded by flames, that his mercy, as we say in the Psalms, is above all his works. Getting the word out about merciful and forgiving love, encountering the cold heresy of that day. That was the life's work of this cloistered nun, St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. We have our Sacred Heart statue, and you doubtless have a picture in your home. Perhaps you've actually enthroned the Sacred Heart in your family. And most of you, I am sure, have made your 9 first Fridays, and you've given your children an opportunity to do so as well. What remains for this devotion? To cast our sins into that furnace, probably more often in shame than in sorrow, we have done so. We have whispered our sins to the priest and left them behind on our side of the confessional, forgiven. And yet, it seems that forgive and forget is destined to stay on God's side of the grill. The natural man, the old man of sin, finds it so difficult to forgive. But if forgiveness has been won for everyone and is offered today to all indiscriminately, who are we to withhold forgiveness from a fellow servant of ours? The servant in today's gospel is forgiven. He only asks the king, give me a little time and I'll pay you all back. The king, knowing better, just cancels the debt. Can you imagine? I'll pay you all back. 15 to 20 million dollars. That I owe your majesty. How stunned the servant must have been. And he stumbles out of the audience chamber and he runs into a fellow servant of his who owes him a measly what in our money? $40? And he would not forgive him. It's so hard for us to forgive. But $20 million or $40 are as nothing in comparison with the real debt, not the national, but the real debt which we owe. And there is no government on earth which could print enough money to cancel it out. Only God could blot it out by the blood of his Son. Do you see how forgiveness or damnation? There's no other possibility. And that blood once flowing there at Calvary still is present, and with it your forgiveness on this altar this morning. We can cry out with even a little examination of conscience. We have to have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And it is true, because we have the altar and we have the cross. And we have Christ crucified. The only condition, you might say, is that we do not tell a lie at our Mass between consecration and communion. That is what makes the Una Cum Mass, the Mass that is said one with the great heretic in Rome, so hideous. It tells a lie just before the consecration. In this case, it concerns not the church, but Christ's own command, the Lord's Prayer. Dimitte, sicut et nos dimittimus. Forgive us as we forgive. Do we? Why do we find it so difficult? Perhaps it is pride, wounded by the word of another, perhaps some prejudice or ignorance on our part, a lack of preparation. We've gone out without the helmet or the breastplate or the shield, and we've fallen in with some fallen spirit. He gets the better of us each time. The sense, he suggests to us, that this crime against you is too great to be forgiven. Besides, it still hurts too much, and in any case, I'm still waiting for my apology. Or perhaps it seems that no matter what you do or say, you are condemned. Why should you trouble yourself then? That was certainly the environment in which St. Margaret Mary lived and sanctified herself. Imagine it was a convent, and she was constantly criticized and condemned by her fellow nuns, as much by the very, very pious, observant sisters as by those who were a little bit worldly and a little bit lax. They called her a hypocrite. They accused her of pride, and to her face, stupidity. Her response was always one of equanimity, and it may be that that very calmness encouraged them as they judged her. And she, for her part, never gave the least indication of holding a grudge, of being hurt, or having any hard feelings. And we? It's hard, isn't it? Especially at first, because it hurts. There's a sting there. And even a long time later, resentment can return, this is the work of the enemy, with a breathtaking force. It sucks the life breath out of us. But that's the devil for you. His attacks on the elect will only increase in what St. Paul calls the evil day, which precedes the end of the world. And how foolish are we to withhold forgiveness, to nurse injuries, to hold on to harshness and let it show in the eyes or the tone of voice. This takes away our baptism. It makes us heathens again. We hand ourselves over, we do, willingly, to the torturers in this life, to be tortured with these thoughts, even as we tear apart our neighbor with our tongue, and there remains to us what? Purgatory? And why not hell? It does indeed exist. Those who will not comply with the condition forgive, how can they be forgiven? Forgive from the heart. The sweet, sacred heart makes it easy. The sublime sweep of virtue, which makes man like unto God, and which makes God like to forgive men their sins, is summed up by the Council of Trent Catechism as the greatest of all Christian obligations, the pardon of wrongs done to us. Pay what thou owest. That's why you've come today in person to make a payment. And God is just. Pay what thou owest, and he will give you back your change, and you may count it in the palm of your hand. And with it, you can change your life. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.